Having said this, now the next sentence Sri Aurobindo says, but this is infinity with regard to time and space, and eternal duration, interminable extension. Right? This is regarding the infinity of space and time. All that we are seeing in this world is nothing but space and time. In that space and time, you do not see any beginning or any end. This is the meaning of infinity here. But this is not the end of the matter. As you really ask this question, if there is really no beginning, then once I had argued with you that whatever you see is existing before you, and this cannot exist without the previous thing have existing, and that cannot exist without that previous thing existing, and if it does not end at all, then this cannot exist. If it does not end at all, therefore I had argued that there must be some end of it. That end, however, is not an end in space and time. Because in space and time there is nothing which ends. And yet there must be an end. There must be an absolute beginning. But that beginning cannot be caught in space and time. Therefore, the absolute beginning must be spaceless and timeless. And that's why Sri Aurobindo says, you see, read the second sentence. The pure reason goes farther. Have you got that sentence? The pure reason goes farther, and looking in its own colorless and austere light at time and space, points out that these two are categories of our consciousness, conditions under which we arrange our perception of phenomena. When you look at existence in itself, time and space disappear. So, the existence is infinite in two senses. Infinite in the sense of beginningless and endless, and infinity in the sense that that which is not finite, and to which all conceptions of which are applicable to finite don't apply. All finite objects are in space and time. Therefore, that which is not finite, which is really infinite, the concept of space and time don't apply. Therefore, we have one infinity of space and time, and you are obliged to perceive the pure reason goes further. And when you look into existence in itself, which is the ground of this whole thing, the real beginning, which must be. But real beginning not in space and time. That which is the real beginning is sometimes called only the ground. There must be a ground for all this to spread before you. So now we have got two infinities. The infinity of space and time, and the infinite which is spaceless and timeless. Therefore, existence is basically timeless and spaceless, which is the ground of the beginningless and endless space and time. This is the conclusion to which we arrive. Now, when we say that existence is the ground, the best way of understanding that ground is to understand the concept of essence. The simplest way of conceiving essence is the following. Supposing somebody tells you a long story, and after hearing the whole story you say, now tell me fundamentally what is the story. What is the crux of this story? Just tell me briefly, just tell me essentially what is the story. Now, if you will conceive of this essence, you will find that by nature it is not extension. The long story that you are told is extension. It has lot of movement. It extends from point to point, goes on and on and on. When you think briefly, essentially, fundamentally, it has no extension. Sometimes it is even called, it has intention, not extension, but intention. Not intention with T-I-O-N, but S-I-O-N. Just as extension, E-X-T-E-S-I-O, extension, similarly in intention, it is intense and intention. I-N, T-E-N-S-I-O-N, intention. So it does not extend, it is intense. It is intensely present. When you briefly tell the story, the whole story is contained in it. And you can extend it, you can tell the whole story, because it is intensely present. So if you dwell upon the idea of essence, you will really understand this timeless and spaceless existence, which is the ground of endless and beginningless time and space. That is why existence, which is pure, without quantity, quality, relation, all nama rupa, minus it out, what remains is essence. But when you say it is essence, it does not mean that quantity, name, quality is therefore completely excised. Because when you want to tell the story again in great detail, it is out of that essence that you can tell out the whole story. It's not lost. It's not excised. It is not destroyed. Such is the relationship between extension and intention. Such is the relationship between time and space on the one hand, and the timeless and spaceless. The ground which is the essence, the true existence, is something in which time and space and all that we see is so much contained in it, it almost becomes other than what it is. And yet, when you expand it, it again expands as nama and rupa.
There is the timeless and spaceless within the purview of the reasoning or only the experiencing?
Both. As I told you, three things. Imagination, reasoning and experience. All the three will give the idea of infinity, of space and time. Similarly, timelessness, spacelessness is also reasoning, imagination and experience, in all the three. Then only we can be certain that such a thing exists, otherwise pure reason can give you conviction, but only conceptual conviction. It is only in aparoksha anubhuti that you really get a complete satisfaction, yes, I have seen God face to face. Then only you are really certain, totally, integrally. And that is the speciality of Indian thought. The one distinction between the Western thought and Indian thought is that Indian thought has always maintained that what you can conceive by reason has also to be further proved in experience, even though that experience is to be of another kind, a paroksha anubhuti. But you have a complete certainty. So both by method of pure reason and by method of pure experience, you get confirmation of what you want to say.
Similarly, if the reputation of Kant, as you said, about the existence not being a
predicate,
by the Indian thought, if it's not a predicate, it's the subject itself, which is the sat and the existence, it makes it so simple.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely. You are quite right. Actually, it's only one step. Instead of seeing this way, you see
it. So evident.
Absolutely. That means your telescope is exactly on the target now. When the telescope is exactly on the target, you are bound to say existence without quantity and quality is not only something that you can conceive, but is the only thing you can conceive. All right, now, Sri Aurobindo says that when pure reason sees directly, time and space disappear. Now, we have tried to see this proposition earlier, today also, but let me repeat before we go forward. Beginningless and endless infinity is something which you can't deny. Imagination, experience, conception, all the three tell you that you cannot conceive of absolute beginning, absolute end. In your experience, you never see anywhere. And yet, if it had no ground, this whole movement of beginningless and endless movement could not have come into existence. There must be a ground. If not anterior in space and time, there must be a ground. Then only all this can move.